ואילו שאין להם חלק אלא מבוא. So one of those who doesn't have a חלק אלא מבוא, we discussed אפיקורס, we discussed קורדס או המחיצני. So the next one is הלכה של המקו, ויועם הכל המחלו ששמת ונשם ועושים הלכה, כי אני השם רפך. So it sounds like someone is sick, and he whispers, someone else whispers a pasuk over the injured part of the body. So he's treating... So one of those who doesn't have a chelik and olam habo, we discussed apikoros, we discussed kordis or mechitzonim. So the next one is halacha shal hamako, the yoyim kol hamachlo shesamti v'nsam v'yosim halacha, ki ani Hashem reifecho. So it sounds like someone is sick, and he whispers, someone else whispers a pasuk over the injured part of the body. So he's treating the Torah as if the whole thing is a good luck charm. That by reciting psukim, the person is going to get better. He's not going to get better by reciting psukim. So he makes a joke out of the whole term. So the Gemara wants to know what's exactly the avla. Why is it so bad? Halocha shalamako. So the Gemara has a three-way mach. Sounds like a three-way machloikis. Am I right? That's a Rashi lines. Am Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan insists that the only time it's considered a terrible avla, it indicates kilu he's an apikoris and he loses his olam habo, is berokik bo if he spits. Either he spits immediately before he recites a pasuk, or he first recites a pasuk, then he spits, one or the other, and he mentions a pasuk where it has Shem Hashem. So it's a bizoyan to the Shem Hashem that it should either follow immediately after a rikika, or should be connected with a rikika that follows right after it. Rabbi Yechanan says it's only prohibited, it's only en achel kalam abo, if it's beroikek, and he says a pasuk that has Shem Shemayim. Rav disagrees, afilu negat saratz. Some say regarding aleinu. Yeah, it says in the Shulchan Aruch discussion, the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, about people who spit in the middle of aleinu, they say Shem Shtachem Hevel Arik, and they want to spit to emphasize that it's Avoy Dezoras Hevel Arik. But then they say, Ma'afikor Mishtachem Hevel Arik, Ma'afikor Mishtachem Hevel Arik, Kodesh Baruch. It sounds like it's a shaila here whether the Rikike precedes the Haskar Shem Shemayim or follows the Haskar Shem Shemayim. So according to the Rashi has the two pshat, if the Rikike precedes the Haskar Shem Shemayim, that's also Asur. So this is terrible. So that's what the Torah talks about, that those who have the meaning to be Rikik in the middle of Alei. Rashi learns, Itmer Rava Mafila Negat Saras, Rav disagrees. Rashi says, Afila Negat Saras, Afila Loichesh Kroa Delez Beshem Shemayim Ala Rikika. Negat Saras Kisiya Bar Mahuva Lakoyim. There's no bizarre to Haskar Shem Hashem. Still, it's also because he's reciting the Pasuk L'Shem Refua, also as if it's a magic, as if the Jewish religion is magic. And it's a bizoyin, it's cheapening the whole Torah, the whole religion. Rav Chanina disagrees, Rashi learns a third sheet. Rav Chanina disagrees, Afilo Omar. Vayikra al Moshe, Rashi writes, Afilo Vayikra al Moshe, Shem Balocho, Livalo Nega. He's not mentioning Shem Hashem. And it's not Nega Tzaras ki siya bodem huva lakayim dinirpo, Nega Tzaras mena tzarua. And it's if it's a good luck charm, as if it's magic, that by reciting a pasuk that talks about the sicknesses being healed, as if the chod is going to get better, 1, 2, 3, just like that. No, Rashi learns, even if he's learning, this is what people do all the time, even if he's learning and it dedicates his learning, and the schus of this learning, so-and-so should get better. So that's what people, a lot of people do that all the time. So Rashi says, Rashi writes, Shem Alocho Livelo Nega Deinavoy Leloch Shal Amaka. Not saying a pasuk that's improper to say on Amaka because it sounds like magic. Deinamaskir LeShem Refu. It's not that he thinks that this pasuk has therapeutic value. El Kesabu Huli Notzal Bezuchus Divrei Torah Shuhu Hiskir. So Rashi learns Pshat in the third Amor and the Gemara still also Leloch Shal. You're not permitted to recite psukim and say that in the schus of the reciting of these psukim, the person should get better. That's also forbidden. That's how Rashi learns. This Gemara is quoted in Shavuos on Daf Tezvo. So the Gemara in Shavuos makes a distinction between, and the Rambam quotes this Lalocha, the Gemara makes a distinction between one who is already sick as opposed to one who's healthy, and he recites Psukim in order to protect him from getting sick. Because the Gemara says in Shavuos, before you go to sleep at night, so we recite Shir Shel Pagoyim, we recite the different kapitlot from Tehillim, that in the schus of reciting those kapitla haftilim, we should be nitzel and nothing should happen to us at night. That should serve as a shmirah. So the Gemara says it's not the same as over here. Here he's talking that the person is sick already, and you want in the schus of the liman haTorah should have a refuah, so that's not permissible. But if you say in connection with healthy people, so you can't pick out one person as opposed to the others. Everybody's healthy. So I just learned Torah, and in the schus of liman haTorah, I want to remain healthy, so that's what everybody does. Exclusive mitzvahs and ma'asim tevel, we remain healthy. Okay, so that's permissible. That's not there's no magic. That's what the Torah mitzvahs are all about. Don't know. I mean, the baby's healthy. The baby's healthy, but it's going to undergo surgery. So you don't want him to get sick, Esther. So in the exclusive of the Torah. Or the night before the bris, so people, children get together, and they say Malach HaGol, they say Psukim, so in the schus of the Liman HaTorah, the person shouldn't get sick. So that's the Gemara Shavuos, after as well, that is permissible. That's what the Rambam quotes in the Gemara, that is permissible. But to recite it on Chayla, that's not allowed. Yeah, the Gemara in Shabbos says that the kameyas are permissible. Yeah, the only shaila is, are you allowed to wear the kameya on Shabbos? Is it a violation of Hotzor? So the Gemara says, if it's a kameya, that's ischazik gavra, ischazik kameya. So if we know that it works, then it's considered like a band-aid. That is considered like a malbush. That it's not even called Hotzor. It's not ischazik. So then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos, but on the weekday, the Gemara says, there's no problem. Why isn't that a good luck charm? Why isn't that nichush? Yeah, why shouldn't it be nichush? I don't know, it's a problem. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that kol davar sheyeshim mishum refuah mishum darkei ha'amayim. If it works, so then there's no issur of chukas darkei. So apparently in the days of the Gemara, they assume the kameyas work. Even though that they're not 100% sure about, but means that even if it's not muchzik, but they think that maybe it works. If maybe it works, then there's no darkei ha'amayim. It works for whatever reason. I don't know. The Rishonim have a hard time explaining. And Beis Yosef and Yerideh has a hard time explaining all these kameyas and anything. Shulchan Aruch. It's a discussion, a kufayin test. The same thing about Basanach Shavalo, Saneinu, and so on. So to explain something about kameyas, which I didn't understand. Let's see. The Gemara is going to have some of Hilchas Shabbos here, and then they're going to get a little bit involved in these in Yonah Berefuas. There is a din on. We have all of the 24 prokim in Mishnayis Masechah Shabbos. The Mefarshman in Mishnayis say that Shabbos is like a kala, and in Tanakh, in the days of the Tanakh, a kala would wear 24 tachshitim. She would wear on every finger. She would wear a ring and earrings and necklaces and nose rings and everything. So all together, everything added up to 24 tachshit. So that's what Rabbi Yudah Nasi, you could have made Mishnayis Shabbos, you could have made it 30 prok, you could have made it 20 prok. You made it 24 because it's Mechuvin Keneged, the Choftal Tachshit, and the Kalawir. So there's one whole parak, Masech Shabbos, Shemana Shuatzim, that's all about the refuahs. That on Shabbos, we have the halacha distinguishes between the various categories of Chol. If you have a Chol, Shiesh B'Sakhane, if there's a sofik sakana to his life, even a far-fetched sofik sakana, or for sure a real sakana, so you're permitted to do whatever is necessary in order to save his life. Look, tikrach nefesh is derech kol ha'tarkul. So you're permitted to mimchal Shabbos if need be, with a melacha derais also. But that's only, we assume that's only sakana sachayim. If there's only sakana saver, if there's concern for loss of a limb, so that's a big machlekes rishayim. And the only one who says that sakana saver is derech is a mi'iri. Masechas Avodizor, he had a different gears in the Gemara and Avodizor, Daf Chav Zayin. We don't have that gears in the Gemara, according to the way it says, Bayah Sakana Sefer is not considered Sakana Nefoshes. So we say that whenever this Sakana Sefer, loss of a limb, possible of Abay, loss of a limb, or loss of the use of a limb, let's say the limb won't be cut off, but it won't be able to function unless he be Mechal Shabbos. we assume in Shulchan Aruch that you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos with any Melachas Deraisa, but anything that's only the Rabbanon would be permitted. It's really Yesha as a tshuva. He thinks we should reconsider this issue. He thinks we should reconsider if it would have only been the Mehiri who says like that. So Batla Daita, if it's only one Rishon, then we don't even consider it Safik Sakonis Nefashis. He quotes a klal from the Beis Yosef. Whenever there's any slight, so the Gemara has Lahochad Bituach Nefashis Sachar Haroi. The Gemara says at the end of the first paragraph in Sukkos, in the end of Yuma, the end of Maseches Yuma, the Gemara says, let's say Choylan Yom Kippur. So the doctors say they think he's going to be all right, but there's a far out chance that maybe he'll die if he fasts on Yom Kippur. So if there's a far out chance, they didn't tell me he has to eat. Or they say they don't think he's going to survive anyway. They think that he doesn't stand the chance of surviving. Their opinion is going to die anyway. But if he eats on Yom Kippur, maybe there's a far out chance that maybe he'll survive. Or let's say the person is so sick on Shabbos, he was in an accident, they don't think he's going to survive anyway. You take it to the hospital, there's a far out chance that maybe he will survive. So whenever there's a far out chance that maybe he will survive, or there's a far out chance he may not survive, then the Gemara says you don't go baser roi. You have to be choshish for that far out possibility that maybe driving to the hospital, maybe eating on Yom Kippur will save his life. And we say you don't follow roi. So the Beis Yosef has a klal in the Rishonim. The same is true not only if you have a far out chance where the odds are 99-1, it's only 1% possibility that by doing this avera, by driving to the hospital or by eating on Yom Kippur, you may save his life, that I consider that a suffix, sakonas nefashim, even though it's way less than 50-50. So the Beis Yosef quotes the klal from the Rishonim, the same is true. What if you know what the metzius is? All the doctors say what the metzius is, but there's a machlokes among the rabbanim what the halacha has to say about that. So most of the Rabbanim say that you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for this kind of a sickness. And there's a mirut opinion that you are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Not a Shaila Mitzias, a Shaila in Halacha. So the Beis Yosef says, it's also called a Suffix HaKonas Tefoshes. Even if it's only 99 poskim say one way, let's say 97 poskim say one way, and 3 poskim say the other way, and 98 poskim say one way, 2 poskim say the other way. So even though it's 98 to 2, and 97 to 3, and you should have gone Basar Rav. No, that's also included in the Kalal. So the Achrayim say, the later Achrayim said, what happens if it's literally 99-1? There's only one Paisik who says like that. So then they say, there's only one Paisik, then you say Batla Daika. Then you ignore that Paisik. So that's the issue over here. We have the Meiri. The Meiri writes Beferish in Maseches Avodah Zarah, and that Gemara and Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says, whenever there's a Sakana to the eye, so you're allowed and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos, even a Melocha Deraisa. Why is that so? So the Miri had the gears in the Gemara, because Sakonas Aver is Doicha Kalatar Kula. Any possible loss of limb is the same of loss of life, and it's considered Sakonas Tavash. So we have the gears in our Gemara, along those lines, Shari Tech with the Kula, that's the Gemara in Chulin, by a blood spot. You have a blood spot, so we assume the whole thing is We assume the whole leg, it was fertilized, and we consider the whole leg an avela. We never had a shechita, so the whole leg is also machil because mitam nevela. An egg with a blood spot is also because shari tech with the kula. You're not allowed to eat the whole leg. So it's along those lines. The Gemara says, if there's sakonis ayin, the Gemara says, the shuraike de eino, the blood vessels of the eye, are connected with the heart. And if there's an infection in the eye, it may spread to the heart, and it may die. So that's why it says in our Gemara, not that sakonis aver is Doiche, Sakonis Ayin is Doiche Shabbos. Sakonis Ayin is considered Sakonis Kalogup. So by Yasin the Gears, it's in the famous Bakker from the Meiri. So it was always assumed for generations that we don't follow the Meiri on this because he was totally outvoted. It's only a Shita Sayochim. So this reading Eish Tain is he thinks that we should reconsider because the Meiri doesn't stand alone. He thinks that we have the Taisus and Sukhi with the Rabbein and Tam say the same. Berishmei quotes a Taisus in Sukkot. Taisus says in Sukkot that Sakonas Aver is considered Sakonas HaNefesh. Taisus is quoting this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So if you look in the Taisvi HaRosh, and that Taisus, it's at the end of the second parak in Sukkot, around after Chavov and Menalach or so, Chav Zayinam and something. So the Rashash writes there. Rashash writes on his own like that, and you look in the Taisvi HaRosh, it's the Berish. They think it's a misprint in Taisus. It shouldn't say Sakonis Aver is Dechakal Tarkush. It should say Sakonis Ayin. is Dechel Kol HaTarkunin. They're just quoting the Gemara, because Hakana Zayin, the blood vessels in the back of the eye are connected with the heart, and the infection may spread to the heart and may die. That's just quoting the Gemara. They're not saying a new Chiddush and a new Yisrael. So the Pashtus is the Taisus in Sukkah is probably a misprint. And then the Shvi'i Yesh quotes a Mordechai, who quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Sakana Sefer is Dechel Kol HaTarkunin. So the Pashtus is the Rabbeinu Tam never said that either. So tell us the Shvi'i Yesh. He quotes a Mordechai, he tells the following story. The patient is sick, and let's say his finger got cut off. And if they'll sew it back on Shabbos, if they'll do a malacha deraisa, drive it to the hospital, sew it back on Shabbos, all the malacha is, then they'll save the use of the limb. And if they don't drive him, if they don't do a malacha deraisa, he's going to be missing a finger. So they're discussing this in the presence of the patient. And he hears, the patient hears, the way the doctors are saying, we're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos because he's only going to lose the use of the finger. He has another 9 fingers to go. So he'll live on. Maybe he has some shana. So Rabbeinu Tam says the patient can get a heart attack and die from aggravation. So that's why it's Dechel Shabbos. He doesn't say Sakana Sefer is Dechel Shabbos. He says very often Sakana Sefer, because of aggravation, will turn into Sakana Sachayim. So the Pashtus is that most of the Poskim assume the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, not the way the Shvi'i Yesh suggested, that Sakonas Eivor is not Doiche Melochas Deraisa, it's not Doiche Anissa Deraisa, it's only Doiche all Yisurim Derabbanan. What if it's not even a Sakonas Eivor? What if the person is just very, very sick, he's lying in bed and he just can't function? Achoyle She'em Bo Sakona. So Achoyle She'em Sakona either means Mutal V'mishka V'choyle Kol Gufo. Or it says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say a little baby is hungry. So when the baby is hungry, he starts to scream. Normally, when the baby is not hungry, he plays with his toys, he plays with his brothers and sisters, he fights with his brothers and sisters, whatever he would normally do. And now when the baby is hungry, so he can't function normally, whatever is normal for this baby. So the Shulchan Aruch considers Tzorchei Hatinek like a Cholei She'en B'Sakana. Even the baby is not sick at all, just hungry, and he's not starving. Just when he has a slight desire to have a drink, to have a bottle of milk, so he's going to go wild. The baby's going to start screaming his head off over nothing. That's called the Chod Hashem Sakana. So you see the definition, Chod Hashem Sakana means one, a person has a condition, the condition just may be hunger, but the condition is such that it prevents that person from functioning normally, whatever normally is considered. So in order to get the baby the bottle, the Gemara says, Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Gemara, that you're permitted to do Amir Lenochri. Why? Because Amir Lenochri is not even a malachim in the Rabban, it's only a gzerim in the Rabban. Whatever is only a gzerim is permissible. Or the Beis Yosef writes the following din, and he writes it in the Shulchan Aruch also. He has it in the Beis Yosef, and repeats in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's say there's a choylu she'en b'sakana, and the doctor says if he'll take a hot bath, it'll help him improve his health. He'll feel better. He has aches and pains all over. I can take a hot bath, you turn on the hot water, you're cooking the water, that's bishul deraisa. So you get a nochri to turn on the hot bath. Sure. So Amir Lenochri is mutter for Chayla Shem Sakona, no problem. So the Beis Yosef frekta kasha, but how can you take the bath? There's a gzera midirabonon, gzera sambatya, gzera smechatzos. So you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if you filled up the bathtub for Mer Shabbos. So how can he, what does it help that he does Amir Lenochri to fill up the bathtub with the hot water, but the Chayla is not allowed to bathe on Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says that bathing in hot water on Shabbos is not a malacha derais, it's not even a malacha midirabon, it's only a gzera. Gzera is mechatzos, it's a gzera, lest the Jew will go and heat up the water. But you don't say that midirabon, bathing in hot water on Shabbos, is a violation of bishul midirabon. It's not even a vashul midirabon, it's a gzera. So since it's only a gzera, so all gzeras are mutter b'mokam chor l'shem b'sakon. Or it says, l'moshel, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Yisra Behetta. The very end of the Sefer Yisra Behetta by the Rabbeinu Yonah, the whole Yisra Behetta is all about Basel B'cholim and Treifus and Taruvus and in Chelek Aleph Yerideya and Yai Nesach and so on, Stam Yonah. And then the last section in the Sefer Yisra Behetta by the Rabbeinu Yonah is about the Din of B'chol Shiesh B'Sakon, Shem B'Sakon and so on. So the Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchas Chelek, Shin Chav Ches, he quotes the name of the Yisra Behetta. Let's say you have a Goyish doctor comes to the house on Shabbos and he says the patient needs some medication. Let's say there's an Erev in the city, so we're going to go to the drugstore, and the druggist knows who I am, so he's going to give me the medication, I'm going to take it home, carrying the Erev. So it's good, but I need a prescription. So the doctor's an Nochri, so I'm permitted to ask the Nochri to please write the prescription that I need. So the Nochri says, well, I don't have a pen, could you please give me a pen? Now I'm going to tell him, I'm Hashem Shabbos, today's my Shabbos, please walk over to the drawer, here's the drawer, and take out the pen and write it. So if I'm afraid he's going to get angry and barge out of the house, he's not going to do it. So the Issa the Hetter says, you're permitted to pick up the pen and hand it to the Noch, even though the pen is the HaKalisha Malach Tovah Yisra. And even if it would have been Mukta Mamish, Kalisha Malach Tovah Yisra is lower than Mukta, even if it would have been Mukta Mamish, so the Issa the Hetter says it's permissible. The Tilta Mukta is only a Gzeira Midrabbanan, it's not even a Malacha Midrabbanan. Tilta Mukta is Asim Rabbanan, Gzeira Shema Yotzi, lest the person will forget and carry out in the street. We're going to say whenever a person handles mukta, he plays with money on Shabbos, he's in violation of Hotzah Min Rabbanan. It's not Hotzah Min Atar, it's not Hotzah Min Rabbanan, it's Gzeira Shema Yotzi. Lest this will lead to Hotzah. But you can't see even the further stretch of the imagination that playing, handling mukta on Shabbos is considered the violation of Hotzah. It's not even a Malacha Min Rabbanan, it's a Gzeira. So whatever, it's only a Gzeira, it's Mutter, Bechor L'Shem Yisachon. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch also. Not everybody agrees, it's a Mishnah Brurim. But the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is not the accepted psak. That in this perek in Shabbos, perek Shmei Neshvatzim, a whole perek dedicated to the Issa Refuah of the Shabbos, the Chachamim prohibited for a person who is basically healthy, he's a bari, but he has slight aches and pains. A bari with a mechesh b'yalma, so they not only did they not give any kulas, they introduced a chumrah, that it's forbidden to apply any medication on Shabbos, even though there's no malach involved at all, just to take a pill. A person has a mild headache, and he wants to take an aspirin in order to remove the headache. So most assume that an aspirin is also aspirin. So we'll discuss it soon when we get a little further, next line in the Gemara. So the pashtus is that you're not allowed to take any medications on Shabbos if the person is a bari with a mechesh b'yalma. If he's basically healthy, but he just has aches and pains, slight aches and pains, then he's not permitted to take any medication. That's a gzeira midrabbanan. Lest you'll grind up the Sanamanim and you'll be in violation of Tochen. So that was the Issa Midrabbanan. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, what if the person is a Chole She'ein Bo Sakana? Let's say he has such a splitting headache, Mamash has to lay in bed. He can't function. He can't walk around. He can't eat. He can't talk normally. He just can't function at all. Right? So has a sinus condition, it just knocks him for a loop. He can't function at all. And if he's going to take the medication, he'll be able to function normally. So that's considered a chayla shein b'sakana. Chayla shein b'sakana means one who has a condition, either sick or not necessarily sick. The baby is hungry, he's not necessarily sick. Whoever has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, so then we permit you to violate a gzera. It's not a malacha deraisa, it's not even a malacha midrabbanan. We allow you to violate a gzera in order to improve the situation. Yeah. So the halach is, when does the Issa Refuah apply? When is there an Issa Refuah? That's the fourth category. There are four categories. Chole she'esh bo sakana, chole hol only has sakana saver, chole she'ein bo sakana, that you're permitted to violate all gzeiros derabbanan, and then you have a bari with a mechesh ba'alma, a person is basically healthy, but he has slight aches and pains. So then not only there are no heterim, no kulas, then they introduce the gzeiros derabbanan, asering refuah. So the Gemara says, let's say a person has a sore throat, but it doesn't prevent him from functioning normally. He keeps on clearing his throat. And if he'll drink some schnapps, it'll get better. Or something like that. He has a toothache, so if he'll drink some schnapps, it'll get better. Whatever. He has a cold. A certain machlus that if he has some schnapps, it'll get better. But this person never drinks schnapps. This person never takes schnapps. He only takes schnapps when he's sick. So the Gemara says that's okay. Since there are normal, healthy people who take schnapps all the time, so that's a Michael Green. So whatever's a Michael Green, let's say orange juice. That person never takes orange juice unless he's sick, he has a cold, and needs a lot of vitamin C. So he drinks a whole container of orange juice. But other people drink orange juice all the time. So since for normal people, orange juice is a Michael Green, it's a Michael that healthy people drink. So even the one who only can't afford it, and he only takes orange juice when he's sick, so that's not considered an Issur food. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Gemara quotes Tan Rabban on a Braisa. Let's say a person has some kind of a sickness in his stomach and he wants to smear oil on his stomach in order to heal the sickness. So there are some people that smear oil on their body all the time, all week long, not only when they're sick. So just because you can't afford it, just because you're a poor person and you can't afford the oil, it's so expensive, you can only afford the oil when you're sick and there's a great sort, then you go to Shmir oil. That doesn't matter. That's called a Michael Bream. Whatever's a Michael Bream is permissible. It means they only ask a refuah if it's refuah hanikeres. And it's very conspicuous, very noticeable that what you're doing is a maaser refuah. But if it's not so nika, then it's mutter. So that's the brisa. Sochen, you're permitted to smear oil on the body. Or memashmishin, you're permitted to rub also. But if a person has a bellyache, and somehow he's going to rub on his belly, he's going to feel better. So some people have a rub down even when they're healthy. They have whatever. Someone rubs their back, and rubs their belly, rubs their chest, whatever. They have a rub down even when they're healthy. It's pleasant. It's good for the blood circulation. Whatever it's good for, I don't know. Whatever they do it for. So since that's an activity that even many Briyim do, a lot of people don't do it when they're healthy, only when they're sick. So since many normal people do it when they're healthy, so that's called a Michael Briem, and that's mutter. That's why there is some utaina that aspirins are mutter bichlal to take, because there are some people who take aspirins every day. So therefore they hold that aspirins are considered a Michael Briem. That's, I don't know. Never appealed to me. I thought that aspirin is a medication. What do you mean? Aspirin is clearly the thing is a compound. How can you consider that a Michael Green? Schmearing oil is a different story. Schmearing oil is healthy. So that's like eating and drinking. So people schmear oil, it's healthy for the body. And rubbing down the body is also a healthy thing. So even if you only do it when you're not feeling well, so that's not called a refuah nikeres. But to take an aspirin, to take a pill, I thought pills are always a refuah. I don't know. Ein shavah l'chol nefesh, yeah, therefore, that's a different thing, that's a different thing. You're only permitted to do a malocha on yontif if it's eichol nefesh, means if it's, Tosis says if it's l'refuah, if it's something that's healthy, like cooking food or something like that. But if it's only l'tainik ba'almo, then, right, an aesthetic pleasure, an aesthetic pleasure that's not necessarily healthy, doesn't have to be unhealthy, but just for tainik be'almo, then the Gemara says you're not allowed to do such a malach. Yeah, that's a different dinner. You know? That's a different story. So that's how Rashi. Yeah. Rashi has a tshuva. He quotes the Magen Avraham claims that there's a machlekes the Torah and other Rishonim. What if you take a medication to prevent you from getting sick? It's not that you're sick already and you want to heal the sickness. It's a preventive medicine. So the pashtus is that the Magen Avraham says that's a machlokes Rishonim. So the pashtus is that the vitamin should depend on that. A person takes vitamin pills every day, that's to prevent him from getting sick. If he already has a cold, he only takes vitamin C pills when he has a cold. So if he already has a, if he wants, in the winter time he's afraid he's going to catch a cold, so he takes a vitamin C pill every day, so that's to prevent him from getting sick. That should be the machlokes that the Magen Avraham quoted. And if he only takes the vitamin pill after he already is sick, so the pashtus is that then it should be awesome. Then it should be refuah, then it should be awesome. Yeah, that's a shaila. Can you really consider that Michael Green? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. Yamashia has some kind of a cheshbon why he thinks that the vitamin pills are l'chola deyes mutta. I don't know. The Rashi writes on this Gemara, the Gemara says, Tanar Abon, and the Bryce says, Sochen Mamash Mashim Bidei Mayam Shabs. You're permitted to shmir on oil, and you're permitted to rub it in also. So Rashi writes, why is it mutter? Bein Lekach Mashim Refuah, towards the bottom of the first column. Because Sikha Kishtiya. The Gemara has a din Sikha Kishtiya. It's different things on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to have Achila Shtiya. So the Gemara says that Sikha is also Kishtiya. That you go shmir oil into the body, that's considered so that's like drinking water, so too shmearing oil into the skin is also like drinking water. The Rabbeinu holds that it's only an asnachta mid rabbanon. Rabbeinu Tam holds all the chamisha inuyim are wrong mid rabbanon. The Gemara says there's no koris on all the other inuyim outside of achilu shtiyah. So he says it's only mid rabbanon. The Rabbeinu Tam holds the whole sikhi kishtiyah is only mid rabbanon. The Gemara says that a zar is not permitted to, Chumash says a zar is not permitted to eat truma. A zar shalcha truma is nisi b'dei shaman. So what if the zar is going to shmir shemen shal truma into his body? So vayta, the Gemara says that it's not allowed. So Rabbeinu Tam says it's only midi rabbanon. Sichi kishti is only midi rabbanon. He also said it's not midi rabbanon. What does Rashi mean over here? Sichi kishti. Kishti is mutter. But to drink medicine is mutter. To drink medicine is also awesome on Shabbos if it's medicine. Now that's Michael Green. If it's Michael Green, then it's mutter. So that's what he probably means. A strange Rashi over here. There's a Mishnah about shmirim oil, shem and vere. There's a machlokes satana, but it's an extremely expensive oil that no normal person in his right mind would ever shmir all week long. Not talking about regular oil that a lot of people can afford and they shmir all week long, and the poor people can't afford. Talking extremely, extremely expensive oil, shem and vere, that only multi-millionaires, only the gviri madirim can afford it, only the kings can afford it. And the Amoinam can't afford it, but if they're sick, then they're going to buy it. Look, whatever, it costs money for medication. So that'll be their medication. So that's a machlekes in the Tanoim, where the Soch and Shem and Beret the Shabbos, and Terek Shemana Shvatzim. So one Tana holds Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim, all the Yidin deserve to be like B'nei Malachim, they deserve to be multimillionaires. And since if you would have all been multimillionaires, it would have been before Shein and Ikeris. We would shmir every day, we would take a bath every day in Shem and Beret. So even though no one can afford it, even though only the B'nai Malachim, Mamish, the Gvir, Madirim can afford it, since Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, so we don't consider it a refuah hanikeres. It's considered like a Michael Breen. And we don't pass them like that. We pass them, we don't say Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim.
Shemin, because
it's... Yeah. No. Morris says you are permitted to shmir. The Kohen is permitted to shmir Shem and Shol Truma, but the Israel is not allowed to. So it's not allowed to because Sichi Kishtiya. So the Rabbi in Tam holds that whole din of Sichi Kishtiya is only with the Rabbanon, both for the Truma and for the Yom Kippur. The whole din is only with the Rabbanon. Chazal explains that it's a little bit of the Truma. Is there Isa? There's no the Malkus. You won't get Malkus for eating it, but it is a Nitan of Mitzvasa, so it's not an Ibu. It's not considered Ibu Truma. If the Kohen will shmir it on his body, it's not called Mechala Zayn Truma Shalakim Mitzvasa. Let it be an Isa Deraisa for the Kohen to shmir the Shem and Shal Truma. So he says, no, that's Mutam and Atar, because it's Oymid L'Sicha. Whatever the Truma is Oymid for, whatever Truma is Oymid L'Achila has to be eaten. Whatever is Oymid L'Shtiyah you have to drink, a Kohen has to drink. Whatever is Oymid L'Sicha you have to shmir. If you're going to take Shem and Shal Truma and you're going to drink it, Kohen is going to drink it, then he'll be mevatlet mitzvasa, because that's not the normal thing. To take a bottle of Shemes Messiahs and to drink it is not normal. So the Rambam says the Kohen will be in violation of bitl mitzvasa shalachum, because each truma I have to use for whatever it's aimed for, whatever it's normal to use it for. So Rav Gavala quotes Rabbi Kivegri asked Akash, according to the Rabbi Natam's opinion, a sichit kishti is only with the Rabbanon, so how is the Kohen allowed to shmir the Shemes Shal Truma on his body? The Kohen is only supposed to either eat or drink the Truma. So Sich Kishti is only the Rabbana should be awesome. So Rabbana explains, no, the Nitam the Mitzvasa is Sich, that everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Natam agrees that that's a din there. So Rabbi Natam says the Malkus, Azar, Seshoch, Shemesh, Al Truma is Loikus. Rabbi Natam has only Malkus Mardus. Won't be any Malkus there. I mean, has Chelev. The Ramah writes that on Shabbos you're not allowed to use a bar of soap, but on the weekdays you're allowed to, even though it has chelov. And the Don Legoin there, the Be'er HaGro, is Machmer. He thinks that you should say Sichi Kishtiya, and it's a violation of eating the chelov. We follow the Rabbi Natam. So what's Taka the Ramah? Sichi Kishtiya. What does Ramah say? It's Mutter, even though it has chelov. So we follow Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam holds that all things Sichi Kishtiya is only with the Rabbanon. And they only instituted it for these two cases, only for Yom Kippur and for Truma, Zashach al Truma, they never instituted it for Chelev. If you shmir the Chelev into your skin and it gets absorbed into the pores, it's true it is Sichi Kishtiya. But they never were Machmer on Shari Sur, that's Rabbi Natam. But according to those who disagree with Rabbi Natam, the whole Sichi Kishtiya is really Menatayra. So that's what the Don Legoin says. You should ask him and call it a Rukul. There's no Svar Bahal. Also a tiny, could be. The cheap soaps don't have any chelov. The expensive soaps have chelov. Yeah, I remember I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael the summer that the stipler passed away. So by the Levi, only Rav Lezer Shach delivered a hesped. That was all. And then a few days after, in the middle of Shiva, they had a spade in Yeshiva Seitz Chaim. It was in the summertime, so they had a hesped outside in a big chutzah in Yeshiva Seitz Chaim. One of the Balabatim told me it's Kedai to go because Rav Kreisworth was one of the little Hesper. He said he's the greatest Bal Masper of the generation. Okay. So I went, so they had someone else. The one who wrote the Sefer, Ochas Rabbeinu. He keeps on putting out a few volumes. He was a Talmud of the Horowitz, yeah, he's a Talmudic disciple for 40 years or something. He learned from the time he was a teenager. He learned every day with disciple for years and years. He wrote down every sneeze. How many times the disciple has sneezed on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur and Erev Tisha B'Av? Every little sneeze he wrote down. So he delivered a hesped. So he was saying about the stipler, about the different midas chasidus that he had, that he would never use soap when he took a shower or a bath, because he was choshish for the zomer gan shita that sichik kishti. Some of the soap that he used didn't have any chelach. It's more expensive. You can buy soap without chelach. In America, the soaps are more expensive, so they have chelach. It's a softer, it's a creamier. But you can buy inexpensive soaps. Years ago, not all the soaps had chelach. Now also, they don't all have chelach. Saying all kinds of midas chasidus from the stipler. It is not. It was Yadua. It's a very big machna. Anyway, so what Rashi says over here, Rashi says the reason why sicha is mutter for the chayla is because sicha kishtir. What kind of a hat is sicha kishtir? Shtir is also asa. If you're going to drink a medication, it's asa. The only time it's mutter to do a shtir is if it's a mark of dreams. I think that's probably what Rashi means. Sicha kishtir means he's shmiring on something that's normal for people to do, mark of dreams. Normal for healthy people to smear on oil all week long. They smear when they're healthy, when they're not healthy, it doesn't make a difference. If they can afford it, they smear on oil. It's good for their complexion, it's good for their health, whatever, arthritis, rheumatism, whatever it's good for. So they always smear on oil. Stomach's healthy, they smear oil all the time. And they rub on the body, it's also good, you get a rub down. So that's for healthy people also. So if it's a Michael Green, then it's mutter. That's what he means, Sichik Ishtin. Let's say a person is afraid that a snake or a scorpion is going to bite him. So he starts whistling to the snake and the scorpion. He knows what niggun to sing, whatever, that they shouldn't chase after him. So the Shaila Rashi raises is, maybe it's an Isa Tzeda. So he says, no, that's an Ishkan Tzeda. I do a gimmick that the Nachash or the Akrab should go somewhere else. It shouldn't come to me. If I catch the Nachash or the Akrab in a container and I close the lid, and that's the way I protect myself from getting bitten, so that's Tzeda. Sometimes it'll be Mutter. If it's really a suffix sakana, so it's mutter. Say there's mutter. But if I don't even do that, I don't trap the nachash or the akrab in a container, I just whistle and sing whatever song and a dance and I chase it away. So Rashi says, Eimo Mishum Tzeda. There's not a problem of Tzeda. Vashtetzuch is not a problem of Tzeda. Umadirim Kli al Gadi Ha'ayin Bishabbos. What kind of a din is this? Rav Shimon Gamliel along with the Medvah Mor Mikli Anito. If the kli is mukze, then you're not allowed to put it on the yayin. What is this? So Rashi says on the top of the second column, he has some kind of problem with the yayin. So he puts, they would sometimes put a mafteach, a sakin, a taba, something to cool the skin around the yayin, to cool the yayin. That's taka. Why isn't that an isur refuah? Let it be an isur refuah, taka. This is not, this normal healthy people do this. This is not a Michael Green. This is a refuah hanikera, should be awesome. Unless he means that it's a sakonis nefoshis, an infection in the eye, like the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that Gemara, that sakonis ayin is considered sakonis nefoshis, or it's a cholish ayin v'sakona, something. And Rashi doesn't explain it. Why is it mutter? Mavim kli agami ayin. This should taka be. This is refuani keres, to put some kind of a metal knife or a key or a ring around the eye. This should be mamisha rechuani keres. It must be that it's a sakana saver, or chol l'shem is sakana, it's such a madreg. If it's a boy with a mechish balma, it's taka no heta. Yeah, even if there's no salmon used at all. The Gemara says you're not allowed to use a hot water bottle. Let's say a person has a bellyache, they can't grind up the water. The Gemara says to use a hot water bottle is also awesome. Even if you're not even, hot water bottle, at least you're applying something. You're putting a hot water bottle. Even if you're not applying anything, let's say the baby has twisted legs. So a lot of times the mothers, when they diaper the babies and they see the baby has a bow-legged or a pigeon-toed, the toes are sticking out, are sticking in. So if the mother notices it, so she'll straighten out the legs. Every time she diapers the baby, she straightens out the legs. So that's also called the refuah. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do that. On the weekdays, you can do it. Even though you're not applying anything, you're just using your own hands. That's also called an isa refuah. To do anything that's merape, is awesome. Unless it's not merape. If it's a, let's say you put on a, if I'm bleeding and I put on a band-aid in order to clot the blood, so that's merape. The band-aid is going to clot the blood. But let's say I'm bleeding, I'm not interested in clotting the blood. I just don't want the blood to get all over my white shirt. It's going to drip on my suit, my shopping suit. So I want to protect my clothing from getting all the stains. So that the Gemara says that's permissible if the thing is not therapeutic. If it's not going to heal anything, so it's not merapi, then there's no issur refuah. It's only if it heals. If it's Medicaid, I think you will have a problem, yeah. That's refuah. Unless the Medicaid, unless the medicine tegel kapos, unless the doctor will tell you the medicine is a junk. Okay, so then it's not merapi. But then usually a bandage clots the blood, so the clotting is the healing. That is the healing. They don't want to bleed to death. Unless it's going to clot by itself anyway. So very often it's going to clot by itself anyway. It's a tiny bruise, and you just want to protect your clothing from getting stained. So that's not an issur refuah. That's not a problem. The pashtus is that even if you have a medication that you started 6 days before Shabbos, I started on Sunday, I did it Sunday through Friday, still not allowed to apply it on Shabbos. Unless you have the following case, let's say a person has a condition, and the doctors think that the only way to heal is he's a bari with a mechesh bam. Let's say a person has acne. He doesn't like it. A mild case of acne doesn't prevent him from functioning normally. He just looks in the mirror and he thinks he looks awful. And at least the doctors have a pill. And they say, you have to take the pill every single day. If you're going to miss on Shabbos, it'll take you an extra month to get better. So that's what Rabbi Yom Zilber writes in his Sefer. He thinks that Chachamim prohibited refuah b'Shabbos, mistavra. They said, instead of getting better today, take the refuah tomorrow, so it'll take you another couple of days to get better. But if the nature of the medication is such, he's not doing any malachas. You're not going to do malacha to cure acne. There's no sakonis there. But I don't think. So if a person just has a condition that bothers him, and the only way to heal it is by taking refuah every single day. So he writes, he thinks, Sachidish, Mastabit, right, Mastabit. He writes, he thinks Sachidish, that the Ki HaGavna Nachram never asked refuah. You tell the guy he's not allowed to take medications, it's going to take him another month to get better. That's too much to believe, that Nachram asked so much. Yeah, but just because he started the chol, there's some Achren wrote like that, that if you started taking the medication before Shabbos, it's mutter. So the Rabbi Yom Zilber and others quote, there's an often Gemara against the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, you're not allowed. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan was sick, and he went to a nochris, a doctor, and she was giving him a medication every day, but she wouldn't tell him what the medication was. She'll be out of business. If she'll tell him what it is, so he'll go tell everybody else what the medication is. So then on Erev Shabbos, when he came Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he came Erev Shabbos, so he said, but I can't come tomorrow. It's the Hail of Shabbos, he can't come on Shabbos. So he asked her, what's the medication? So she said, I can't tell you. So he said, he swears that he's not going to tell anybody. So she told him the medication. Then the next day on Shabbos, he announced it in Shia. He gave a public Shia what the medication is, so whoever gets sick with this doesn't have to go to the Nochris, she doesn't have to hold him up for money. So then the Gemara says, Hayitochen, he swore to her that he's not going to be Megala to anybody. So the Gemara Rabbi Yechanan explains to the Nechris, to the doctor, he said, I never said that, you didn't pay attention. I swore to God I will not tell. He didn't swear to God that he will not tell anybody. He swore to God I will not tell. But I won't tell the Rabbani Shalom what the medication is. But he never swore, he told her right away. He told her right away after he took the Shavua, so he told her, I hope you realize that I didn't say what you think that I said. So the Yisif not Gemara, that even though you started taking the medication days before Shabbos, it's still also to continue to take it on Shabbos. The only reason Rabbi Yechanan was permitted to take the medication on Shabbos, because he was a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana, the Gemara says. Gemara says it happened to have been a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana. But we Paskin even would have been a Cholosh Eim B'Sakana, also refuah is mutter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passed. Cholosh Eim B'Sakana, Gzeira is a mutter. So refuah is only a Gzeira. If you don't think he's going to bleed to death, then it's a, you're not allowed to stop the bleeding. That's exactly it. Right, you're not allowed to. Unless you think that he's going to lose so much blood that he'll be weakened, and he's going to be so weak he's going to have to lay down in bed.
It's going to scratch.
A little scratch, you're not allowed to. Right. The Gemara says to put on a band-aid to stop the bleeding, that's called refuah. Unless the band-aid is not at all for the purpose of stopping the bleeding, it's only for the purpose of keeping your clothing clean, then it shouldn't get stained. So then it's not, then you're not interested in the refuah, then you're not doing a b'shem refuah.
Now,
would
not be allowed to walk out on Shabbos?
Probably not allowed to. The Gemara says it's just lahatzelos haguf mitinov, lahatzelos ha-begodim minatinov, then the Gemara says that it's a maslin, right? That's what the Gemara says. Azav, the Gemara says, Azav is not permitted to be yotze b'kishalo, because the ziva is coming out from his body. Kisedi, he has a sickness, and the ziva is coming out. He's going to get all of his clothing all wet and all stained and all dirty. So he wears a cover over his body. So the Gemara says, since it's only lahatzelos ha-begodim minatinov, then it's also. Unless the person is going to have, it's going to be oozing all over his body, he's going to feel uncomfortable. Then Taisa says, Masech Shabbos, then it is mutter. Then it is mutter. That's what Moshe has in a tshuva. If Anisha has a Riyaz Dam, so if she wants to put a moich, Bosa Mokum, in order that she shouldn't feel annoyed by having the dam all over her body, is annoying, it's uncomfortable, so then it's to protect the body from an uncomfortable feeling. So then it's like the Godin. But if she's not afraid of any, she doesn't have any uncomfortable things. She's making bedikas, let's say. She needs a hefsek tara doing Beinosh Moshes. Right, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. He thought that rain caps are osur if a person puts the plastic cap on top of the hat just to protect the hat. But then he thought that's lahatzol sabegd menatin, if it's a masu, the Gemara says. But if it's pouring so heavily, that if he's afraid that he's not going to wear the rain cap on the cover on the hat, it may, the rain may soak through the hat through and through, and his head will get wet. He may catch a cold, or even if he does catch cold, he's going to be uncomfortable because the whole head, his head is going to be wet. And this rain cap over the hat is to protect his body, not so much protect the hat also, okay? But it's also to protect the body. Then it's mutter, let's say rubbers. It says, Shulchan Aruch, you're permitted to wear rubbers on top of the shoes. If the rubbers are solely for the purpose of protecting the shoes, then you're not allowed to. But if you're afraid the water's going to go through and through, and his feet are going to get wet, or he wants to keep his feet warm, there are some alti yidden who wear rubbers all winter long, even when it's not raining, not snowing, because the rubbers keep their feet warmer. So if the purpose of the rubbers is only to protect the shoes, then it's mashmal shulchan aruch, you're not allowed to. Chava says the reason why it's permissible to wear rubbers on top of the shoes on Shabbos because it protects the feet. To protect the feet, that's mutter. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say about the rain cap. Whether it's, if it's only worn for the purpose of protecting. So the Gemara quotes this in the middle. The Gemara quotes this memra about which refuas, a whole perik in Masel Shabbos, which refuas are mutter, which refuas are ros. Then the Gemara says, "Bein shoylim midvar shedim b'Shabbos." On Shabbos, it's forbidden to consult shedim. Who wants to? Who is interested in consulting a shade? Why should anybody have any desire to carry on a conversation with a shade? So Rashi. So the Gemara quotes this in the middle. The Gemara quotes this memra about which refuas, a whole perik in Masel Shabbos, which refuas are mutter, which refuas are ros. Then the Gemara says, "Bein shoylim midvar shedim b'Shabbos." On Shabbos, it's forbidden to consult shedim. Who wants to? Who is interested in consulting a shade? Why should anybody have any desire to carry on a conversation with a shade? The Rashi says there used to be a comment, this is why they quote in the Shulchan Aruch, if a person lost an Aveda, he lost some property and he doesn't know where it is, so if he has to shade him, the shade him will know. That's the example that the Mechaber gives in Yeridei. So the person wants to retrieve his avid, kishov the mshum davar, shalom and maisha shadim, hein ragidim lahem. So on the weekdays, the mashmoah says that it's permissible to consult the shadim to ask him where the missing person is, where the missing, that's what this family of cats in Eretz Yisrael, they're missing the son for so many years, over 20 years, no? So missing the son, so they consulted all the shadim in the world, and everybody said that he's still alive. He's still alive and they know where he is. So from the Gemara is mashma that it's permissible to consult the shadim to find out where the missing thing is, but not on Shabbos. What's that? It's the anisar on Shabbos, but nichush is more rasa on Shabbos than on the week. This Rashi says not nichush, because it says in Yeshaya that Shabbos is a special day. Mitzoch hafatzecha v'daber dover. V'daber dover. B'chayre Rashi quoted the beginning of the pasuk. He probably means the end of the pasuk. No. Mitzoch hafatzecha v'daber dover shalehei dibucha shal Shabbos. Is that what he means? Daber dover. You're not allowed to talk sicha b'teil on Shabbos. Or unless it means he lost a $1,000 bill. So he's looking for a $1,000 bill. That's why it's also. Rashi means or he means. That's what it means. Taisus in Shabbos quotes a Yerushalmi that Sicha B'Teila is also on Shabbos. Stam to Hakachayni, that Narish Kait is also on Shabbos, and they quote from the Gemara that the Gemara says, Bekoshi Hitiru Shelo Shom Shabbos, that it really should have been prohibited to say good Shabbos. How are you? How's everything? How are the children? How's your Shvika? How's your Baba? So that should have really been prohibited, but Bekoshi Hitiru Mishum Kvoy Shabbos, they were matter. But otherwise it should have been also, because any Sicha B'Teila is also, because Dabba Dover.
Yeah,
not like Taisus. Taisus says that it's all awesome, yeah. And the tshuva is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. There's a tshuva. Chaim Balozhin had a nephew, his name is Reb Simcha, so he has a whole tshuva about this. How come the Minig Olam is not like Taisus? Taisus proved that Sich B'Teila is also on Shabbos. He has a whole tshuva, he's Malamet Zchus. Why people are Merehetta, why people spend the whole Shabbos, they Hakachayni. They talk Dvar B'Teila the whole Shabbos. So he tries to be mitzaded lahakalada, but the pashtus is like Tesis quoted in Shabbos. You're not permitted to talk sich b'teila on Shabbos.
You have a
tiny
problem.
Yeah, Bukoshi. Okay. So the Brisa quotes that b'Shabbos you're not permitted to be shoyl b'dvar shedin. And on the weekdays it's mutter. Apparently there's no Isar Nichos, there's no Isar Nachshu. There's no Isar of Nichos, it's just an Isar on Shabbos, either Dabba Dover, Shalei Dibucha Shal Shabbos Ki Dibucha Shal Chol, or Mimitzoch HaFatzecho, because he's losing $100 bill. He lost his automobile. He lost his Dvar Mukta. He doesn't know. I'm not sure exactly what Rashi means over here. What it means is Mimitzoch HaFatzecho, or it means the Dabba Dover. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tarakam and says, you're not allowed to do it Afila B'chol. Why is it also? Why does Rabbi Yossi hold it's also b'chol? So I would have said because of it's a nachshu, it's nichush. Tamim tiyem Hashem alakecha. You have to go with derech hateva. You're not allowed to go with these supernatural things. Okay, there's ganavi. That's okay. But to go with ma'aseh shedim, the pashtus should have been that it should be an isur of lo'is a nachshu. So the Gemara doesn't. The way we have the Gemara doesn't say like that. The two gears of Samar Avuna, whether Halachic Rabbi Yossi and Halachic Rabbi Yossi, two gears that the Rishonim had. Whether the Gemara is paskling them like Rabbi Yossi, it's also Afila B'chol. The Gemara is only paskling against Rabbi Yossi, and Halachic Rabbi Yossi paskling like the Tanakhama, the B'chol is Mutar, and then the Gemara adds on. That's the Shiloh Halacha, 2 days in the Mechaba. Whether Halachic Rabbi Yossi and Halachic Rabbi Yossi, and then it says, V'af Rabbi Yossi L'mor M'shum Sakona. It's not that Rabbi Yossi said that it's also, the way it says in Agamar, Rabbi Yossi didn't say that it's also because of Nichush. Instead, it's also because of a Maisa Shahoya. Called the Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosef, a Maisa Shahoya. Someone was consulting Shadim to help him out, and he almost got killed. So the Gemara is recommending that it's a Hashash Sakona. That's not. That's one. In the Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote like that. They quote, Yesh Osri Mafila Bechol, because of Nichosh. The Samri Shadim had a different Girsa here. They have that it's also because of Nichosh. Not also.
Thank you.
know, I thought the Gemara says that the Siman Mamuta because it's only but I thought the Gemara gave a different timeline. Well, I said just as a Siman Bracha, the Siman Toiv, like you have white tablecloth at a wedding. Why don't you have blue tablecloth? Why don't you have black tablecloth? It doesn't look pretty. It looks pretty in white. The purity, symbol of purity. So these things are just as a Siman Bracha. I thought the Gemara said just whatever. Simona Milsi. I don't know. Then the Gemara goes by to turn up on a sochem and mashmir b'nei me'ayim b'shabbos that we just had the previous price. That's not called the Nisa Refuah. Ubelvad shaliyasek dar shosav d'chol. Well, what's the problem now? Uvda d'chol sepsanuis. Sometimes there's a melacha deraisa, sometimes there's a melacha mid'rabbanan, and sometimes there's a lower level. There's something that's also mitam gzeira. And then if it's none of the three above, it's not a melacha deraisa, it's not a melacha mid'rabbanan, it's not even a gzeirah, so sometimes the chachamim say, they slap on the knees, uvda d'chol. It's very difficult. How do you know exactly when to call something uvda d'chol? The Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnah Shabbos has a long hakdomah, the Masecha Shabbos. So at the end, he goes through all the lamatas melachas, deraisa, d'rabbanan, gzeirahs, and Morgan Abrams, and Prima Gadims, and he quotes everything under the sun, that he had access to Rishonim, Achronim, and everything. And then at the end of the whole discussion of the whole Lamentas of his Malachas, Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot from the Kalkalas on Shabbos, that Hakdomet, the Malachas Shabbos. Then at the end he has a section on Amir Yakum. Then he has a whole section on Uvda Dechol. Very spare, very spare section. How do you determine what the Chachamim Asim Shum Uvda Dechol? So sometimes they ask the things that have Tirchet. Sometimes they ask the things that looks like a Malacha. Sometimes they ask the things that are bachadik. Yeah, bachadik, that we understand that's uvda d'chol. But there are other things. What's exactly bachadik about this, about shmiri? Okay, so they said that if you...
Are we allowed to make up something?
Yeah, no. You have to know what the getter is. Yeah. I don't know. Some of them we don't understand. So we can't make up new ones that we don't know where to place it. But some things are vachadik. So to say, now I do a vachadik is zach. Let's say to sit and watch television. So the Gemara doesn't say it's awesome. I would say it's awesome. We shall move to the chol. That's not what Shabbos is for. But to sit and listen to a baseball game on the radio. To walk in the street and it's chalishing to hear the baseball game. So he'll walk, stand in front of the store where they sell radios and listen to the whole baseball game. So I would assume that that isn't over the chol. I would assume that it is. That's easy to say in over the chol. But some of those in the Gemara, we're not sure exactly what. Okay, I don't know, so that's some activities are questionable. So the Tiferes Yisrael has a hard time defining. It's not going to be one definition of Uvda D'chol. Many different categories. So the one that's easiest... He walks over, he stands there in order to hear the baseball game. Okay. Lapuki, if he's sitting in his own house and the neighbor is blasting away the radio, so what he tells to do is Bukhiv to walk out of his own house in order he has to go to shul. He has to walk into shul and go there. The Shevi Avdas, I don't think he has to leave his house. But whenever he goes in order to hear it, that is an Issa Uvda D'chol.
I think.
Huh? Yeah. So that's a problem. It's a problem. How do you determine what's Uvda D'chol? So the Gemara says, if you shmir and you rub, you give this rub down the same way you do in the weekday, that's an uvda d'chol. So you have to do it in a slightly different fashion. So the Gemara tells you, how do you do it in a different fashion? Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the next line, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, what's with the shadim? Are you permitted to get involved in consulting the shadim on something? So the Gemara says, Mutarm lishol behem. Rashi writes, "Lekach nimno me'lishal behem." It's permissible to consult these shadim. The Gemara says it's not. Rabbi Yossi only says it's also because of chashash sakana. No chashash sakana, then it's mutam. So the Gemara here says it's permissible to consult the shadim. There's no issur, but the reason why the minig developed that you don't know, because usually it's not reliable. Mepnei mechazvim, zeizan shakranim. So Rashi says, L'kach nimno me'lusha behem. That's how Rashi interprets in the Gemara. Because Rashi had the Girsa, Ela shemechazmin. L'kach nimno. Right. All the Rishonim had the Girsa, it's muta lishol mipnei shemechazmin. it's permissible to consult the Shehidim because they're mechazmim. So what is that limitation? Mechazmim is mutter. So the Rishonim explain what that girsa means. It's mutter to consult the Shehidim. There's no iser. It's not the same as kishuv. Nichush is asr, and mechashefa is chayiv nisa. It's not kishuv, it's not nichush. To ask the Shehidim is a normal thing. Basically, it's mutter. But there's a chashash, he may get so sucked in. And this practice of consulting the Shehidim, he may get so enwrapped in this and so involved, so he'll stop davening. All an esek of a shidduch, an esek of a panos, an esek of having children, everything he'll consult the Shehidim. So it says in the Braisa, you don't have to worry about it. You're not afraid, because half of the time it doesn't work anyway. So it's okay. So there's no chashash that people will get sucked in over here. They never made exerim in the Rabbanon. They cross out the girsa Ella. They have the girsa Mipnesha Mechazim. Half of the Rishonim didn't have the girsa Ella. Like Rashi had, they had the girsa Tzmutat to consult these kind of Shedim. And there's no chashash the Rabbanon Mipnesha Mechazim, because half the time it doesn't work. Then the Gemara tells an interesting story of Blazer. Reb Blazer HaGadol was about to die, so the Tanoim came to visit him. So all the Talmidim were crying, and Reb Akiva was happy. Like the Gemara in the end of Makkos, Reb Akiva is always an optimist. He's always the fox is going in the base kotzer Hakadoshim. Reb Akiva is happy. He's smiling, and all the others are crying their heart out. Shualim Hilchubo, the curse of the Navi is becoming fulfilled, and Reb Akiva is happy. He sees a simon broken and everything. So here also, Omer Loi said the other Tanoim asked, "Lama Ata Misachik?" What are you smiling? Says. Same as the Gemara in the end of Makkos. He said, "What are you crying for?" He explained to me why you're crying. So he said, "The Rebbe is sick. The Rebbe is dying. Epshir Sefer Torah, Shori Bitzar. The Rebbe is like a living Sefer Torah. The Lord Nifke. Of course we should cry. Amalahem. That's why I'm smiling. That's why I'm happy. Kolzman, Shari Roya Rebbe. As long as I see the Tana, the Holy Tana Reb Lezer, that his Parnassa is going well and everything is, no one is sick and no one is, everything is fine. Everything goes well." So he's concerned. Maybe the Rebbe already got his whole schar, like Rishoyim, a rewarded Boilam Azeh. So they should lose the whole Olam Abo. Now I see that Reb Lezer is suffering. He's sick. So I see he's not getting his schar in Olam Azeh. He's going to get his schar in Olam Abo. So he sees the suffering of the Tana Reb Lezer as a Simer Brachah, that he's not losing his Olam Abo. Then Reb Lezer says, "But what was binich shuldik? What did I do? But I was mekayim kol haTorah kula. Why am I suffering now?" So Reb Akiva tells him, "But didn't you teach us, Rebbe? You taught us Tanakh, and it says in Koheles, Adam in tzadik v'asa shi'aseh toiv, v'lo yechta. Everybody sins once in a while. So you have an upkumenish b'olam hazeh. You're suffering b'olam hazeh, so you'll get your schar in olam habo." Then the Gemara says another story, the same. All the Tanoim came to visit Reb Lezer, is about to die. And each one is saying, has paid him while he's still alive. And they say, the Rebbe is so valuable. He brings us to Olam Habo with his Torah. And then Rebbe Akiva says, he twists everything the other direction. He says, then Rebbe Akiva Vyoma, the three lines from the bottom, Chaviv in Yisrael. It's wonderful that the Rebbe is suffering. It's a wonderful thing. Chaviv in Yisurim. Yisurim is a good thing for me. So Reb Lezer says, Samchuni, please sit me up. I want to hear. Moshe take us up. What are Reb Lezer's? What did Rabbi Akiva say? Samchuni, support me, the Eshma Diri Akiva Talmid. I want to hear, what's the Tekazak? Shama Chaviv in Yisrael. Well, Akiva, where'd you get? What's the Makar? So he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh that Menashe, as much as the father taught him, Gonish Geholfen, the only thing that got him to do tshuva was when he suffered later in life. So you see that Yisrael is better than learning Torah. Okay. Chaviv in Yisrael. That's the Gemara. Yeah. The Gemara Brachas has a different suggestions about what attitude should one have regarding Yisur. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, "Was Nachal Rach." Another person who loses Olam Habo is one is Hoges Hashem Ba'osi Yosef. What does it mean? So Pashup Shat, we assume Hoges Hashem Ba'osi Yosef means he pronounces the Shem Hashem. One is not permitted to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei unless in the Beis Hamikdash. What about to pronounce the other Shemus? To pronounce, let's say, Tzadik Beis Aleph Vav Tav, or all the other Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we usually assume that it's permissible to pronounce them if he's saying a Pasuk, he's saying a Tefillah. But if it's not Derech Tefillah, Derech Pasuk, we assume that it's not permissible. It's time you write a poem. So by the Svaradim, they have a lot of poems like that, where they have Shem Hashem. and they feel that that's not called Moitzi Shem Shemaim Levatola. It's not Levatola. It fits in the middle of the sentence. Even though it's not Derech Tefillah, it's not Derech Talmud Torah. Ashkenazim usually assume that it's not right. So what does this mean exactly? Hoiges Hashem Bas Yosef. So again, the Pashup Shat means he pronounces the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which the Gemara says you're not allowed to pronounce outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Mishnah on Tzadikam and Aleph refers you to the Tosfos in Sukkah Daf Hei Amud Aleph, where the Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos says just to say what the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why do we say K and Vav Kei? How come we don't say Hey? So Tosfos says if you would say Yud, and then you would say the next letter, and then you would say Vav, and the next letter, that's called Hoges Hashem Ba'osi Yosav. You're spelling out what the letters are of the Shem Hashem. So that's why Tosfos has Akasha, that it says there is a Machlekes HaTanaim, there in Sukkah and Daf Hei Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a Machlekes regarding the Tzitz, whether it said Kodesh Lashem on one line, or it said Kodesh Lamed on one line, and then Yud Kei Vav Kei is on a higher line. Was it higher up than the Kodesh La? Or was it all on one line? So one is Machlekes HaTanaim. So one time it says, Ani Reisi Bereimi. The Gemara Meila tells the whole Agarata that this Tana went to Rome and he cured the emperor's daughter, and he said, I'll let you take whatever you want in the Beis HaOitzer, in the treasury. So he went into the treasury and he looked around, he saw the Parochas that had a few drops of blood from the Kangola and Kippur. Not supposed to be Mazah the Dam on the Parochas, supposed to be Mazah in front of the Parochas, but sometimes he missed. And he was Maz on the Parochas, so he saw the Parochas had a few drops of blood on it, and he saw the tzitz, and he saw different things. He didn't take anything. He kept on snooping around. The Tana kept on snooping around until he found the royal edict, Agzeres Hashmad against the Eden, that they're not allowed in Torah. So he said, that's what I want. All the things the Beis HaOitzer said, that's what he wants. Took it and ripped it up, and shite. So that's what the emperor said, okay, that's your reward. I let you take whatever you want. So he wanted the document that had the Agzeres Hashmad against the Eden, so he ripped it up. That was the end of the Agzeres. So the Gemara says, Ben Asher, that he saw the tzitz, and the tzitz had Kodesh Lashem in one line. That's the famous Kash of the Eskan the Rambam. The Rambam Paskin is supposed to be on two lines. How can the Rambam Paskin against an archaeological discovery? They discovered the tzitz in the Vatican. They discovered the tzitz in Rome. The Tana saw it, and he says it was all on one line. How can the Rambam Paskin against it? There's a whole discussion. Very fascinating discussion about that. So the Tosfos there is bothered with Akasha. The Brisa says Kodesh La on one line, and then it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it doesn't say K. It says Hey. So when you read the Brisa, how do you read it? According to Tosfos, it's prohibited to pronounce the letters Yud and the next letter. That's also Hoges Hashem Be'os Yosef. So it's a Chiddush. The Tosfos gives a Teretz. So it's a Chiddush, the way Tosfos learns, not only does it, Ein L'Chelek L'Mabon, not only is it considered an Avera Chamura, if it pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei, even if he just says what the letters are, is an is. Wow. So the Gemara says it's only big vumen. That's what the Gemara says on Kuf Aleph and Beis. In Mikdash, you're permitted to. So the Gemara says, M'sochim, that goes on Beis HaMikdash. Mokam HaBroch is the Beis HaMikdash. Avaylecha Berachtich means in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Mokam Sha'asker Hashmi. I give you permission to mention the name Hashem. Kangwadal on Yom Kippur, every day when they were duchen, they would pronounce the Shem Amforish Kichzavah. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not permitted to. That's the Gemara. Then the Mishnah comments about there were four. There were four Hed Yoytos and three kings who lost their Olam Abba. Yeah. So who were the three kings who lost their Olam Abba? Shlosh Melochim. Yerovam, Achav, and Menashe, and Rabbi Yudah disagrees. He thinks that Menashe's tshuva was accepted, because the pasuk says, "Vayispala leilov, vayeyasalo techinasa, vayishbei Yerushalayim, lemalchusa." So the tshuva of Menashe was accepted, and the Chacham disagreed. Doesn't say his tshuva was accepted. Vayishbei Yerushalayim lemalchusa. Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought him back to continue to be the melech. Lemalchusa shiva, v'lo v'chayu el ma'boy shiva. His tshuva was not accepted. Menashe was the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and the Gemara says he was the one who was over there with his Zorah, Gefelah. That's why Chizkiyahu didn't want to marry, didn't want to have children. He knew Baruch HaKodesh, the son of Menashe is going to be an over there with his Zorah. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Did he ever do tshuva now? The Gemara says there in Baruchas, he didn't want to have any children because he saw Baruch HaKodesh, his son Menashe is going to be over there with his Zorah. And then Yeshaya Novi came and he told him, you're going to die. So he told him, but I won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah kibbutz anyway, because my son is going to be an Abed Avodah Zarah. So he says, you have to do what you're obligated to do, but how to capture Rahman al-Amalach, you still should marry and have children. So what kind of an answer? But he understood that the child isn't going to be an Amid Abed Azar. It won't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah peribrinion. So some of the Achranim say that his Ruach HaKodesh was incorrect. There's only half a story. The truth of the matter was Menashe was Chayza B'tshuva. So since he was Chayza B'tshuva, so the father Chizkiyo was Yotze Peribrini. But then Hanami Chizkiyo HaMelech's assumption is correct. That that person lives under the communists, when they're B'tokfon. And he knows what, he's going to have children, and children will be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're going to be communists. There's no way he'll be able to give them a Yiddish Achinuch. They'll be taken away from him, and they'll be brought up as atheists. So then many Achranim hold that Chizkiyo's Cheshbon is correct. The only reason why he was wrong is because his Ruach HaKodesh was incorrect. That's why. But if he would have really known Ruach HaKodesh that's what's going to happen, that Menashe is not going to be Chayza B'tshuva, if it would have been correct, there wouldn't be a mitzvah peribrini. I don't know. Menashe had Yiddish children, Hester. So just because my son is an apikoritz, I'll be desired, but I'll have grandchildren. But still, I'm not Yotze Peribri. If I have, I don't know. Good question. I don't know. So the Gemara has a discussion here about these three malachim, about these chevron. So first they have the big discussion about Yerovim. Yerovim ben Nevat, after Shlomo HaMelech died, so his son Rechavim took over the Malchus. Then Yerovim split the whole Malchus Yisrael into two. The Gemara says, why is he called Yerovim? Yerovim is a nickname. She'osa Meriva Ba'om. He made a big split in the nation. That he split between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi writes, "Shavah Asa Meriva Ba'am," since he forced everybody to worship Abed Azorah, so that made a whole war. Half of the Edom were worshiping Abed Azorah, the others were screaming at them, "How come you're worshiping Abed Azorah?" Back and forth, back and forth. The Mashiach says he doesn't understand why Rashi didn't say Kipshuto. He split Klal Yisrael in half. He said he had Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. And the Gemara says, "What prompted him to split? To split what?" So the Gemara explains. Mor explains, with 10 lines from the bottom, a famous Agarita. He didn't let anybody go to Yerushalayim, because the din is, Gemiri, around 10 lines from the bottom, Ein Yeshiva Bazar al Malchi Beis Yehuda Bilvad. No one is allowed to sit in the Azorah unless he's a Melech from the Malchus Beis David. So the people are going to be Ola Regel, they're going to see Rechavam is going to sit on a throne in the Azorah. And I won't be able to sit, I'll have to stand. So the people below realize, I'm not a real king. After he split off the Malchus, so that's why he forced everyone he didn't permit anyone to be Oyla Regal to go to Yerushalayim, and he put up two Egle HaZohav, and he forced everybody to worship Abed Azor. This Egle HaZohav, that Egle HaZohav. Where were the two? One was in Don, one was in, not in Be'er Sheva, I forgot the name. It's a Pasuk. Beisil. So the Gemara said that was the Cheshmer that he had. This is a famous discussion. What exactly Gemiri? Rashi and Tosis assume that Gemiri usually means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So that's how Rashi translates over here. Gemiri, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, V'loi Mikro. That's the second column. And the Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom, the end of the second column, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. There's in the Gemara in Soita, where the Gemara has that, so Rashi writes that it's only a Din Midrabbanan. So it's Tira in Rashi. Here he writes because the Gemara says Gemiri. And Rashi and Tosis always assume that Gemiri means Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And there, it doesn't say the Loshin Gmir, it just says, Ein Yeshiva Bazar. So Rashi writes, it's only a din with the Rabban, it's not a din with the Torah. That's Rav Elba L'Solovetsch, Shtelzach HaNis Rashi. How can Rashi say over here that it's Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, means this is all part of the Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai, that the Malchi Beis David are allowed to sit in Azara? That was known in advance, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Malchi Beis David are allowed to sit in Azara. It's a very strange nusach of Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. Ein Yeshiva Bazar, Ela L'Malchi Beis David Volvat. Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning said, "En Yeshiva Azor, there's going to be a Melech, Malchus Beis David." The Rav Elba Soloveitchik said, "No, obviously the nusach of the Halacha Moshe Messina was En Yeshiva Azor Ela LeMalchus HaNevcheres Bovad, and that remained to be determined in the future which will be the lucky winner of the title of the Malchus HaNevcheres." Then it turned out that it was David. So after it was established that David was the Malchus HaNevcheres. So then they reworded the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That wasn't the Nusach from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo, the Malchei Beis David. The Nusach probably was Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo, the Malchus HaNevcheres Bavad. And it was later established that Malchus Beis David was the Malchus HaNevcheres. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara says, who composed the Nusach of the Birchas HaMazon? So the Gemara says, when the man came down and they ate the man and they were full, so Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first Bracha HaZanus HaKol. When they entered Eretz Yisrael, they conquered the land, so Yishuv Benun composed the Nusach Noid Elucho Al Horetz V'Al HaMazon. Because you have to say, V'chato V'zavato V'rachdus Shom Rokech Al Horetz HaTayva. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only on the food, Al Horetz HaTayva. And then the Gemara says that David Shlomo composed the third Bracha. Why? Because you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to thank Al Horetz HaTayva. Horetz HaTayva has the Mashmos of Yerushalayim, as it says in the other Pasuk, Horetz HaTayva Hazeh V'Halavonot. That's how the Gemara says in Maseches Brachas. So you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yerushalayim. What do you mean Yerushalayim? So the two aspects to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, as the official capital from the Malchus HaNevcheres, so that already Dovan HaMelech had. Dovan HaMelech was already established as the Malchus HaNevcheres, and then he established Yerushalayim as his capital. First he was, his capital was Hebron the first 7 years, and then he used Yerushalayim as his capital. But then the other aspect of Yerushalayim is that it's the Beis HaMikdash, or HaTavah Zeh V'Halvanu, Shemal Bin Abin Yisrael Shal Yisrael. So that was only completed in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. So when Dovan HaMelech composed the third bracha, he only thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital, as the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. Then when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he added on to the third bracha. How come they didn't recite the whole Birchas HaMazon in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Ramban that you don't have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam if he didn't deliver yet. He just promised. So the food he delivered. But if you eat the food, you say, HaZanus HaKol. Eretz Yisrael was only a promise, and they didn't have it yet. So after Yeshua Benun completed the Kibush HaAretz, so then he was obligated to compose a Nusach. No, Delucho, thank you very much for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Then when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital, so he said, thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, of the Malchus HaNevcheres. Then when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he added that part. After the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban HaMedina, so it does make sense to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for having Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. So we say, Rachem Noad, that Tanoim changed the Nusach. The Nusach in the days of the Bai Sheni was not Rachman of Yisrael HaMecha, but after the Churban Abayis, after the Churban Malchus Beis David, say, have Rachmanis on the Malchus Beis David, Malchus Beis David Mishichech, have Rachmanis on the Beis HaMikdash, have Rachmanis on Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz, have Rachmanis and give us everything back that you promised us that you are going to give. The Pashto says that Rachim Noah is probably only Min Rabbanan. It's only Min HaTorah. Like before the days of David Shlomo, you weren't obligated to say the third Rachman. Even after the days of David Shlomo, but if it was taken away, if it was destroyed, and there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, no longer Malchus Beis David, what do you thank the Rosh for giving us Malchus Beis David? If we don't have it anymore. So you don't thank. You don't thank. Yeah. But the Gemara says in the other Masechtas, the other Maravkan is Ela Malchus Beis David, he thinks that that's when it means the Malchus HaNevcheres, and the benching also. When we have an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Malchus Beis David, that's the Din Deraisa. Yeah, the Din Deraisa, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Malchus HaNevcheres. It was established later which is going to be the Malchus HaNevcheres. Turned out that it was David. Pashto says that it's Smucha L'Chametah, so it doesn't have to be Pasach as Bebar. So that's what the Gemara says. Yerub Men Avod was afraid if they're all going to be Oyle Regel, if he let all the people be Oyle Regel, he'll be Ois king. The people will realize that he's sitting and I'm standing, I'm not the Melech. So that's why he forced everybody to worship Avod Azor. Then the Pasuk says that he was murdered in Malchus. Yeah. Exactly. How was he? Where did the Gemara have before? 10 lines before, the second wide line. Zeh Adav Sheherim Yad B'Melech Shlomo. He was Merim Yad, he was murdered by Malchus. Vosetek Yitton that he was murdered by Malchus. So the Gemara has a famous memory that's put in Shulchan Aruch. Shecholatz Tfilov Bifonov. You're not allowed to take off your tefillin in the presence of the king. You're not allowed to take off your tefillin in the presence of your Rebbe. That's the Achareinim Master Kasha, the Be'er Master Kasha. How come the Gemara has it in a Geir to Melech? The Gemara never says it in a Geir to Rebbe. But it's a Tzushtel. Just like you're not permitted to take off your tefillin in the presence of the Melech, who are the Nami, not permitted to take a return presence of the Rebbe. So Akam Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, they never quote Shulchan Aruch, Miskin Kasha, they don't have any Hilchas Malachim and Shulchan Aruch, but the Rambam has Hilchas Malachim. How come the Rambam only quotes the Din in Hilchas Talmud Torah, that out of covet for the Rebbe, you're not allowed to take off tefillin in the presence of the Rebbe. She'd have quoted the original din, in Hilchus Melachim, you're not allowed to take off the tefillin in the presence of the Melech, and then make a tzushta. So there's a whole discussion in Achrayim, and why the Rambam didn't quote the original Gemara, but that's the Gemara. What's the Havla? What's wrong with taking off your tefillin in the presence of the Rebbe, taking off the tefillin? What's wrong? So the Beis Yosef gives different suggestions. Rashi over here, Avanot, Rashi writes that you're standing at the Gilui Rosh. Some of they didn't wear yarmulkes in the days of the Gemara. They said Rashi probably also not. So he says when you have tefillin on, there's a COVID rush. When you take a tefillin off, that's by us, like a person takes off a yarmulke, it shows chutzpah. So in the presence of a Talmud Chacham, you're not allowed to the tells the Torah about the little children who are in the presence of Rabbi Kiva. He says, and he's a Ben Anida, and Imam's a Ben Anida, because he appeared in front of the Tanoim Gilui Rosh. So here also, this is a chutzpah to appear in front of the Melech, in front of the Talmud Chacham, the Gilui Rosh, that's how Rashi learns. And here there's a famous Maharsha, that the Achrayim will talk about. The Maharsha quotes a Gemara in, where's the Gemara? In Ksubis, I think. The Gemara says, Kol Malach HaShevet Osa the Rabbah, Talmud Osa the Rabbah. The Talmud is mechuyev to service the Rebbe to the same extent that the Rebbe Knaini has to serve the Adon. And he has to mamish, literally be mishamish the Rebbe. So then the Gemara says, but that's only by Medvam Amurim if the Talmud is wearing tefillin. If the Talmud is not wearing, so when he's wearing tefillin, no one will be choshed that he's an Eved Knaini. Because the Bizmana Gemara, the Avodim didn't volunteer, even though you can be any mitzvah of yours, you can volunteer to wear tefillin. But the practice was the Avodim didn't wear tefillin lemaisa. So if the Talmud is wearing tefillin, everybody knows he's a Yiddisha, he's a Talmud, and he's carrying the Rebbe's kelim to the Beis HaMerech, it's mamish servicing the Rebbe, because that's his Rebbe. But if the Talmud is not wearing tefillin, then someone may be choshed that is an Eved Knaini. So one is not permitted to put himself into a hashad that somebody should think that he's an Eved Knaini. So then he's not allowed to do all the malachas for the Rebbe. So that's how the Mashal writes. Shamati, he heard that someone said pshat in this Gemara. That's why you're not allowed to take off your tefillin in the presence of the Melech, in the presence of the Talmud Chacham, because then you're limiting the malachas that you're allowed to do for the Rebbe, by limiting the malachas that you're allowed to do for the Melech, because you're not allowed to do real menial labor, because people will think that you're an Eved Knaini. That's how the Mashal says Shamati. So on Yankev, they quote Akasha against, they say, the pshat that he quotes, they don't like this pshat that the Mashal said. Why? Because the Gemara says over there that this prohibition that you're not allowed to do Malach HaShevet Osa the Rabbi, if you're not wearing tefillin, it only applies Malach M'Shem HaKirin Osa, if they don't know who you are, so they may think that you're an Eved Knaini. But everybody knows who your Rav Mednevot was. They knew he wasn't an Eved Knaini. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, if Makirim Osa, everybody knows who he is, then he's permitted and obligated to do the Malachas, the menial work that only an Eved Knaini would do, because no one is going to be choshed that he's an Eved Knaini. So that's what they chepe the pshat that the Mashal says Shamati. But that's one of the many pshatim that they quote. The Beis Yosef in Hilchas Tefillah quotes a few pshatim. And on Shulchan Aruch, this is one of the pshatim they quote from the Mashal. In fact, the Seder Adoris is a little history book from one of the Goyinim from the 1700s. So he has a harifas. There's a Gemara in Hamafkin, I think. The end of Hamafkin, there's a stira, this Reisha and the Sefer contradict each other. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's a machloikis in the Gemara. So one Amor in the Gemara, some Amorim try to be Miyasha, the Reisha and the Sefer, and the other Amorim said, there's no Tavra. Nisha Shanazul, lo Shanazul. The Reisha goes like one Tana, Sefer goes like a different Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Ma'an the Metargim Chavis, Aliba the Chad Tana, whoever will interpret this mission about Chavis, to me, he'll satisfy me, according to one Tana, the Vilna Bonne Basri Lebe Masusa. I will be so appreciative, I will be Mishamishim like a Talmud is Mechuv to be Mishamish the Rebbe, and I'll carry his towel and his underwear and his clothing to the Beis HaMerechus like an Eved is Mishamish. So what's the Chiddush? So the Seder Adoris points out, the Beis Yosef quotes a Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan never wore tefillin, not in the summertime, not in the wintertime. He had a very sensitive skin. So in the wintertime, he was always afraid he was going to catch pneumonia. So if he's going to take off his turban, or he's going to start unrolling his sweaters, he's going to catch pneumonia. So all winter, he didn't unbundle himself. And in summertime, he was afraid he was going to get a sunstroke. So summer, winter, he hardly ever wore tefillin. So So that's the chiddush that he says. I'm never wearing tefillin. And the Gemara says, if you're not wearing tefillin, you're not allowed to do the menial service to the Rebbe, because someone may think you're an Emek Zayni. I don't care. Rabbi Yochanan says, if someone will be mitagim and chobis, I'll be so appreciative. I'll do what I'm not allowed to do. I'll show that I'm a real Talmud of that person. I'll feel so such a debt of gratitude that I'll be mishamishim, even though it's a little bit kineged adin. Anyway, that's all based on this marsho. That the marsho says shamati, and maybe that's the reason for the prohibition. The Gemara says, if the Odon Rabbi Hiniach lo tefillin, if the Odon allows him to wear tefillin in his presence, so it's a similar dub that he must have been mishachar him already. That itself is not an act of shichra. But if he allows him to wear tefillin, that's a raya, like a haidos baldin k'meinah done, like he just made a haidos baldin, that I freed him already. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense, because the Zman HaGemara, they would never allow an Ebek Tani to wear tefillin. That was not the practice. Taisa says, strictly speaking, he could wear tefillin, could even say a bracha, shekadashanam b'mitzos v'tzivanu, but the Taisa in Gittin writes on Daf Mem, but they say the practice was not so. They just didn't do it, the Zman HaGemara. So that's why it was an umdir in the muchach. If Adam allows the Ebed to wear the tefillin, then it's a hoichocha that he must have been mishachar him already. So the Gemara talks about how do you know that your oven doesn't have a chayil, gelam abo, so they quote all of the chorus and the psukim.
Why is it moira the malchus if he would sit down at the
azor? If he would sit down at the azor? Yeah. He's doing something that only the malach is allowed to do.
He's not allowed because he's not basically...
Not for the malach, yeah. I don't know. He was a Malfa, the other half of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the Gemara said, if I'll sit down, it'll be more than Malfa. So why? You're asking, no, if he's done a violate that is. Because it was an Eretz Yehuda, that's why it's more of a Malchus.
Yes,
maybe?
All right. A Melech alone is not enough. You have to
be. Could be. So then the Gemara says, we don't believe in Friday the 13th, that it's an unlucky day. But we do believe that there is such a thing as a lucky season and an unlucky season. It's not Friday the 13th. The Gemara says that the Chodesh Av, hired by Yisod this lay Dina Bahadi Nokri, you shouldn't go in the beginning Chodesh Av. In Chodesh Av there is Bar Yamazel of Israel. So that is a good month for the Yid, and that's a bad month for the Yid. So then the Gemara says over here also, there are moments in history that Min HaShamayim, it's Mesugal. If you'll do something now, you'll be Matzliach. And Ruchnias and Gashmias, whatever. And there are other occasions that it's Mesugal that something terrible is going to happen. Like the Gemara says, Lagaglam Skusli Yom Zaka V'Choyvi Yom Chav. So there is such a concept. So the Gemara goes through different psukim on Kuf Beis and Aleph that on Vayi Beis Hahi Beis Ratzin in Isicho Yom Pokti Pokarati different psukim Beis Hahi there was an ace that was Mezuma LePoronis and then was an ace that was Mezuma LeTayva and then the Mekaymus also the Gemara says there are Mekaymus and Mezuma LePoronis Shchem is a Mokum that's Mukhan LePoronis so the Jews should avoid going to Shchem and other places are Mezuma LeBrocha yeah. It's not that the whole world is equal and all days of history are equal. No, there are itim izumanim that are more mesugal than other zmanim. Then the Gemara quotes a pasuk describing Yerovam ben Nevat. The Gemara says, "Gemara, groisa talmud chacham." He was wearing a simla chadosha. What's for a simla chadosha? Ma simla chadosha ain't bo shum doifi. After us, Shal Yeravam Lahoya Bo Shum Doifi. That he was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. But it went to his head, and then he decided to worship Avodah Zarah. So he was afraid if they'll go to the Oyla Regel, they'll all recognize that he's not the real king, because he's going to be sitting, he's going to be standing. Such a bug in his head. So with all the learning that he did, he gave it all up and he decided to worship Avodah Zarah, to force everybody else to worship Avodah Zarah. Wild. That's how the Gemara says, "Gemara, grace to God." saying Direi Torah Simba Hadosha, what does it mean? Dvarim she chidshu dvarim shelo shama oizem me'oilam. Chidush Torah that no one ever heard since Maimon HaSinai. Mar says Zera Grois Talmachov. And the other Talmid HaChacham in his generation couldn't compare to him. That's the first one line. She called Talmid HaChacham in his generation Medoyim Lefnem Ki Yizvei HaSodem. And nonetheless, he was Yoytzei the Tavros Rav because of the Gaivim. Then the Gemara goes through all the other Malachim. The three Malachim, Malachim, the other Malachim, just quotes Psukim to demonstrate that that is the tradition. Okay. The Menashe, the Machloikes HaTanai. Okay. Apirish Melech Dinaver, the Bnei Yisoscha, has a sefer, the Mishnah Berurah quotes him once in a while, has a sefer that's called Derech Pikudecha. He wrote the sefer on mitzvahs. We only have till the middle of Mishpatim, till it's 55 mitzvahs or so. So he writes, interesting, in every mitzvah he writes some halachas, and he writes some chidush, he writes like Kitzur Shulchanah, he writes some chidush Torah a little bit. Then he writes Chassidus, Kabbalah, Tamiya Mitzvah, it's interesting, everything all together. So on the little, it's a very small sefer, Derech Pikudech. So on one of the mitzvahs, he has a story on the Pasuk in Pereis Sedra, that when Yehuda was mezana with Tamar, and then he agreed he's going to give, he's going to pay her for the services rendered, and she said she wants a mashkin, Chassam Chapsuch Matar Shebiyadecha. So then he sent his business partner, the Nochri, to go look for the Zayna, and he should give her the Gedi Huizim, and he should get back the Mashkin. He couldn't find the Zayna, so he started asking the neighbors, Ei HaZayna Hibei Nai Maladach, where is the Zayna? So he had that Zel Tachsidish Maise, that once a Rebbe came to town, he tells you which Rebbe, I forgot already. So a big Rebbe came to a village, and everybody came to the Rebbe's teach, and one of the Mestagim wanted to see what's going on over there. So he decided to walk. All the Mestagim lived on one side of the town, and he figured he's going to walk until he goes to the other side of the town. So he comes into the Rebbe's teach, and the Rebbe is saying Torah by Shalashudas. Then the Rebbe says, the Noyev should please leave the room. The Noyev should please leave the room. So no one knew who the Rebbe was referring to. Keeps on insisting the Noyev should leave the room. So then he says, the Rebbe says, and if you're wondering who the Noyev is, the pasuk says, "Ei hazayna, where is the noyev? He by naim ala derech." Somebody was walking from the other side of town to this side of town, and as he was walking, he was looking at all the shiksas who were half undressed. It was in the middle of the summer, and that was this nus. So he said, "So the snagit saw that the rebbe had roch hakodesh, that he really did know what was happening on the way." It's a big problem. We live. There are other countries where it's worse. But Eretz Yisrael a lot of times is worse, and sometimes Europe is also worse than New York. We live at a time that there's so much breaches. The Mesillas Yesharim writes that it's not just that it's a gzeirah. One is not permitted to look at the talk nivul peh, to look at arayis, because it may lead to znus. That's a halvitzor, that it may lead to znus. Even if a person is a tzaddik omer, it's never going to lead to znus. But this itself is znus v'inayim, and this is znus hapeh. The Gemara, the Mesillas Yesharim, because the Gemara comments on the pasuk, Leirbucha ervas dovor, so the Gemara darshan's ervas dibur. A lot of times when it says dovor, zedvar hashmita, dibur hashmita, zedvar haratzeach, dibur haratzeach. The Yerba says also, Leirbucha ervas dovor, ervas dibur. What's ervas dibur? A person talks nibul peh is not only forbidden because it may lead to chet. This is znus hapeh, and there's znus ha'inayim also. Moses Arachu Levavchem, this is znus ha'inayim. It's a big problem. Person has to try to be mischazig himself to avoid it. You have to close your eyes. The Gemara says person has to be careful by the noshim hom de salakvisa. In the days of the Gemara, the women didn't have a washing machine, so they used to stand by the river and wash all the clothing in the river, but they didn't want their dresses to get wet, so they used to roll up their dresses. So if a man would be walking by, he would see the woman would have her dress all rolled up as she's washing the laundry. So even though that was the pathway, that's it. He didn't go specifically to look at the women. But still, the Gemara says a person has to be careful. It's a meinam meros baro. You shouldn't go that way. You should try to avoid it as much as possible.
Besides that, if you know that children are going to get killed, then you shouldn't have children. So that was the time. That was the time for Amram, and Miriam told him it was wrong, and Miriam was right.
I mean, how does he know? How does he know that all the children are going to get
it's
killed?
It's about power.
In 49, he came to... signed on my English smicha, but not on the, because he came a month after I...